Well, good evening and welcome to the Wednesday Rewind here at Believers Church. Hope you're all having a good evening tonight. If you're listening on the radio, my name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors at Believers Church, and we're going to recap our Sunday service that was done at Believers Church on Sunday morning. We're in the story of 1 Samuel chapters 4 through 6 tonight. If you're watching along online, jfbelievers.com, or streaming online at streetlevelradio.com. Just want to welcome any and all of you. A lot of us are joining small groups in the Menominee area after the broadcast tonight. So there'll be group discussions, fellowship, dinner, food, fun, you know, just a general sense of community. We try and do this around the Menominee area in smaller groups so we all have a chance to speak into the discussion, hopefully apply these things to our lives, the things that God is speaking to us from the scripture on a week-by-week basis. So for tonight, our story, 1 Samuel chapters 4 through 6, we see that the Israelites were a little bit immature, a little bit impatient. They rush into battle for a second time, and they lose the Ark of God in the process. Now, I think there's a lot of things that can happen to us as we walk through this life as Christians, following our Lord, following Jesus. And impatience is certainly one of those things that can crop up from time to time. Now, maybe you're just an impatient person. Maybe that's just you, and you have a hard time holding yourself back. You have a hard time with self-control. You might even have a hard time slowing down when you're trying to consider what God might have you do. The Israelites are right there with you. Here, they're lacking any sense of clear direction forward. And so they're just kind of taking guesses. They're making guesses as to what God might want for them and from them. Okay, and then impatiently, on top of their guessing at which way to go, which direction to go, they're impatient about it. And so they rush into it. They rush into the next thing. And they just compound the problem of their lives. Okay, they're fighting the Philistines on a regular basis. And they compound the issue of their initial loss in battle by doubling down, by insisting that they needed to fight the Philistines right now. And they double down, and this time they take the Ark of God with them into battle, and they lose, even worse than the first time. And then they also lose the Ark of God in the process. Okay, now, this idea of doubling down is prominent in our message from Sunday. We'll get to some a brief recap from that service in a minute here, but the idea of doubling down means we insist that we were right the first time, even if there's evidence that we failed and maybe we shouldn't have done it in the first place. There's a stubbornness inside of us humans. There's a stubbornness that causes us to believe that we can make it right. We can fix it. We can overcome. We can prove, maybe to ourselves and maybe to others, we can prove that we were right all along and we know what we're doing. And so humans will irrationally double down on the choices they make, stubbornly double down, refuse to turn back from what probably was a bad choice to begin with. And what we end up doing is we end up fighting God. We end up fighting against what he would have for us, and we end up fighting for our own will to come true. This is the opposite of what Jesus did. And Jesus did the Father's will always, every time. He even prays for that in the garden the night before he's arrested and killed. He says, God, if there's any way you could take this cup from me, this suffering that I'm about to endure, I pray that you do that, but not my will, but your will be done. Okay, doubling down with our choices is pretty much us insisting that we want what we want. We want our will to be done, not God's. And most of the time, this is after initial failings and initial sort of situations that play out that are indicators that we shouldn't have done it in the first place. Okay, that's what the Israelites do. They lost once in battle. They should have known maybe the Lord wasn't with them at the moment. But they insist on proving that they were right. They insist on taking God with them into battle, and it goes bad from there. Now, secondarily, before we get into our recap from Sunday, there's this impatience that can happen in us where we're going to try to quickly fix our spiritual mistakes. We're going to fix the mistakes of our lives. We're going to quickly recover our losses. And we likened this on Sunday to a compulsive gambler who loses a lot of money and is just above all rationality, hopeful. They're above all rationality, hopeful that they can recover those losses. And so they continue betting, even though they're continually losing more and more and more. And gambling as an addiction, as a problem, it literally is just stubborn people refusing to cut their losses and turn away from that. And so, but that's an awful lot like what we can be like when we try to fix our problems, when we try and double down. Look, when it comes to fixing our problems spiritually, there's only one solution. Stop what you're doing, turn to God, and seek His help, seek His face. That's the only way to fix spiritual problems. There's going to be actions that come out of that, but don't impatiently, don't irrationally, don't over quickly start into action without consulting God and seeing clearly what He wants you to do, the direction that He wants you to go. This fix to our spiritual problems is to seek God, not to quickly try and do or resolve the problems ourselves, take action, do something that'll get us back on track. The fix is to seek God. And we don't see the Israelites do that at all here. In fact, it won't be till chapter 7 that we'll see them even start to move in that direction. And that's when Samuel the prophet steps forward and kind of helps give them some of this direction. Well, we'll go to the recap video from Sunday. I hope you have a good discussion out there. If you're looking for a group to be part of, there's a group at the Blind Munchies Coffee House in Menominee. There's other groups in the surrounding area, Bloomer, Woodville, Durand, Eau Claire, and beyond. You can just go to our website and see those locations, and you're more than welcome. You're invited to join the groups at those locations every Wednesday as we have these discussions. You can also contact the church if you want some more information about this. But for those of you that are going into the discussions, just pray you have a good fellowship time, helpful discussion about where God is taking you and where you're at as of today with the Lord. God bless everybody.
But the people of Israel are in a bad place spiritually right now. So if let's talk chapter 4 next. Okay, they're in a bad place spiritually. They go to battle with the Philistines, and this is a normal thing for them. I mean, this is as much playground bullying, playground fighting, as it is warfare, although it is large armies at war. But they're in this constant fight with the Philistines. In our chapter 4 today, we find that they lose a battle with the Philistines. Okay. Apparently, they're wondering where God was in all this. They're wondering why God didn't bless their efforts on the battlefield. And so quickly, they pivot and they say, well, let's go again. Let's try this again. But this time, let's bring the Ark of God with us. Let's literally carry God into the battle with us. That way we guarantee that He's there. Well, that doesn't go so well. They end up losing that battle. Beyond that, they lose the Ark. Okay, this wooden box that we just watched the AI video on. By the way, who says AI doesn't make your life better? Okay. They lose the Ark. And then the outcome of the chapter is that Eli and his sons die as promised, as predicted. Sons die in the battle. Eli dies, probably of a heart attack. Then he falls over and breaks his neck. And then we get this picture of one of Eli's daughter-in-laws. She goes into labor prematurely. She gives birth. And it's such a bitter moment for her. Her husband had just died. Her father-in-law, the high priest, had just died. And the ark is now lost. And she names the boy Ichabod, okay, which basically means the glory has departed. The glory of God has departed. And that's the chapter. That's chapter 4. I'll just submit to you that Israel was in a kind of a spiritually confused place. I don't think they had a direction. I don't think they had a clear direction on where they were supposed to be going. Part of that was a leadership problem. The high priest was lazy. He was old and lazy and kind of just done fighting. The other priests didn't really know how to do their job. We learned from chapters 1, 2, and 3 that they were just sort of making stuff up as they went. The sacrifices were being offered in the tabernacle, and they just kind of did with them whatever they wanted. There was sexual sin among the priests. There's all sorts of bad things happening in that church. And so the people at large, they didn't have a real good direction forward. But then we also see that they're impatient. They're impatient, they lost a battle, and they're like, we can fix this, we can make it right, we can get back on track, let's go, let's keep going, let's do something now. And so sort of impetuously, they just quickly, just throw a dart at the wall and see if it sticks. You can see they're using it as a good luck charm. Okay, or maybe they literally thought God lived in that box. You guys have heard the phrase, the saying, God in a box, or putting God in a box. Literally, then you can take him with you wherever you go. You can make him do whatever you want him to do. That's the idea of what they're going after here. The people try to use the ark for something it was not meant for. They take it into battle. Okay, God is not going to bless us trying to use him to accomplish our purposes. That's the bottom line. God won't bless our efforts to try and use him to get what we want. There's probably some reasons why they tried to do this. I thought it seems an awful lot like a compulsive gambler who just lost a lot of money and is going to try and quickly regain their losses. Let me just make one more bet. Let me just bet a little bit more this next time. Maybe I'm feeling lucky. It's kind of like they were hoping for something that really wasn't a good likelihood it was going to happen. It's this idea of doubling down, if you want to continue the gambling analogy. So it comes from blackjack. When you have a good hand in blackjack, you place your initial bet. If you have good cards, you have the option to double the amount you're betting in hopes that you could double the amount that you win. But that's the idea of doubling down. Now, there's this phenomenon that happens with us humans that will double down, but not even in situations where we have a good hand. Not even in situations where things are good and we'll double down to try and do even better. Us humans, that's me, that's you, we'll double down when things are bad. When the situation's going wrong, I made a bad decision, it's not going the way that it should be or the way that's leading towards success, let me just try a little bit harder. Let me just put a little bit more stress and emphasis. Let me just put a little more investment into it. And we'll try and recover that loss by doubling down. I might have been wrong the first time, but I think it'll work out in the end. Worst case, you're doing that because you're trying to go against what God is trying to steer you back toward. And you're just fighting against God. You say, I want to go over here, God. And I'm going to continue to go over here. I'm going to try and take you with me. Hey, the Bible calls this sin. Best case, it's foolishness. Definitely, it's a form of arrogance. Certainly, we're trying to maintain some control of our life. That's what the Israelites are doing here. They're trying to force this decision to come true. The aftermath is this woman gives birth and she names her son Ichabod. The glory of God has departed. Okay, a bitter moment, bittersweet. And it's true, the glory had departed. But it wasn't right in that moment that it happened. Okay, she's just realizing it for herself in that moment. Eli and his sons realized it for themselves. The people are realizing it then as well. But it's not then that the glory of God had departed. The people had left God behind a long time before this. They weren't following his ways. They weren't putting their trust and their faith in him. He didn't leave them. They left him. But the woman names her son Ichabod. The glory of God has departed. Okay. And they were aimless and they were wandering. And this is just going to continue until they finally get some new traction. So the ark gets passed around from here. Okay, the Philistines now have it. They take it to their first city and they put it in the temple of their god. And I don't know if they just wanted to like support their god. Okay, maybe enhance his natural abilities, like give him some additional strength and power. What happens is a couple nights in a row, the statue of their god gets tipped off its pedestal. The first time it's lying face down, the second time it's broken apart. And they figure, okay, this must be because the ark of God is there. But it gets worse for them because all of a sudden the people start having tumors. They start having this plague. They start dying. And the people of the first city, which the first city was Ashdod, they're starting to freak out and panic. And so they get their leaders together and they say, okay, what should we do? Well, they decide, let's just send it to another Philistine city. They don't want to be, you know, dying and have the plague in their city. So their solution is to send it to the second place called Gath. And the same thing repeats there. Tumors, death, there's all sorts of bad things that are happening. Okay, the people in the second city, Gath, they decide the same thing. We got to send this away. So where do they decide to send it to? Hey, this isn't like go put it out in the Mediterranean Sea and let it sink to the bottom. Now let's just send it to somebody else and they can deal with it as long as we're in the clear. People are willing to weasel out, to get out of danger even if it means putting somebody else into danger. That's the way of humanity. It's selfish, it's self-seeking, it's self-preserving. That's the Philistines, that's what they're doing here. But I will tell you, when we get into chapter 6, we're going to see the Israelites do the same thing. They know God, they know better, and we're going to watch them do virtually the same thing. You can decide when the ark returns to Israel. It shows up in this guy's field, so instantly they kill the cows, they start a fire, and they offer the cows as a burnt offering to God. And this is where it gets even weirder. You say, how could this get even weirder? This is where it gets weirder. Then God kills 70 of the Israelites because they looked inside the ark. So God causes the ark to come back home to Israel, and they're all excited. They celebrate. They do burnt offerings. But then God kills 70 of the Israelite, the Levite priests, because they presumptuously opened the ark and looked inside of it. And you think, why did they do that? I mean, is it like little kids saying like, well, let's just look inside. Here's our only chance that we'll ever get. It's curiosity. Maybe it was more noble than that. Let's check and see if the Philistines stole anything out of the ark. But it doesn't matter. Okay, so God kills 70 of them. And then the people are afraid. They're like, what do we do now? Who can stand before this holy God? That's their what they're quoted as saying. And certainly they don't want it to be them. And so they start asking around and they find another Israelite city and say, will you take this from us? Because they're afraid. Okay, so they end up doing the same thing as the Philistines do. So these guys look inside the ark and they end up paying the price for it. Because they didn't respect God, didn't respect his holiness, they didn't worship him, they didn't trust him. The question for us is, will we? Even in little things. I mean, maybe that's the hardest part to take here. Gosh, it seems innocent enough. I can imagine why they would have looked. I'm the kind of guy that would look. I'm just being honest. I want to be helpful, so I'll just presume that helpfulness is better than holiness in this moment. That's me. Okay, I know some of you are like that. This is where following God isn't about being a good person. It's not about just being a nice person. And this is where following God is about obeying him, respecting him, trusting him, following him. And these stories are hard sometimes to take and even hard to understand. But if we believe that God's holy, and we believe that caring about his holiness is more important than being helpful, then I think you won't have a hard time at least learning from it. Okay. Now these people send the ark away, and they're terrified. What's going to happen to the rest of us? Who can stand before this holy God? Okay, and so they're going to send the ark away.